6 years ago, the Dolphins were tanking for Tua, and I think we've written the final chapter of that story.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. This is your boy Theo Dorsey. It is a Wednesday, December the 17th. And today's a day that Dolphins fans and folks in South Florida alike will likely remember for quite some time. Specifically those who have had to suffer through the past six tumultuous up and down years of the Tua Tagovailoa era. Because with the news that we received today, I do believe we can finally say the book is closed. The chapter's ended. The Dolphins are officially turning the page, moving forward. Quinn Ewers announced now as the new starting quarterback as Tua is being benched following his inept Monday Night Football performance, which led Mike McDaniel into saying that everything was on the table for change, and we learned today that the change will be Tua no longer starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, and now the only question is, has he finally taken his last snap with the Dolphins? Theo Dorsey, C-Cats on the other side of the glass on the ones and the twos. And boy, do I feel like as predictable as this Dolphins team has been over the past 6 or 7 years, as scripted as it feels like this season specifically was, as this 2-7 start happens, and then we look at their schedule and we say quite clearly they have a route to make things interesting, and they will, and inevitably they do, beating up on teams that are at the bottom, just literally the seller of the NFL. And then it all culminated in a primetime football game on Monday night at Acrisure State. Is it Acrisure?
Acrisure.
Acrisure Stadium, and formerly known as Heinz Field, in Pittsburgh. Sub-freezing weather, December football game. And like we've seen year after year after year, the Dolphins did what the Dolphins do in those conditions. And not only did they lose, they lost in an embarrassing fashion, and it all culminates in the benching of Tua Tagovailoa. C-Cat's on the other side of the glass on the ones and the twos. And C-Cat, we predicted this would happen. We knew that this was likely the end this season would be for Tua Tagovailoa. But it played out in a way that felt a little bit kind of like forced, kind of stretched out. It was a very weird season for the Dolphins this year.
I mean, like you said, they went on a winning streak against bad teams. The only good win was probably the Bills in that situation. And so you can't bench a guy unless you're the New York Giants after a good performance, right? Because didn't Russell Wilson get benched after a win or against a good performance?
No.
Really, yes.
He got benched when he threw a ball into the stands 8 times in a row with the game on the line.
That's a good point.
So I'm trying to think of what quarterback actually got benched after a good performance. You know, you're not going to get benched after a good performance.
And you know what, Theo? We kind of talked about this with Russo and Rizzo about how if you're just a box score watcher, you look at Tua's stat line, you're thinking, what are people complaining about?
Yeah.
Like this guy was efficient. He had a bunch of yards, connected with Darren Waller a bunch. Well, all of that happened after the Dolphins found themselves down 28-3. And when it was garbage time and the game just didn't matter anymore. And that's when Tua padded his stats. But it was a pathetic visual performance from Tua on a national stage against a team that, when you look at the records, it often should have competed with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Now going into the game with the situation and the reputation that the Steelers have on Monday night and the Dolphins have in cold weathers, we knew this was not a prime opportunity for the Dolphins, and they showed you that.
They showed it to us, but then again, it was almost as if like a guy like you, a guy like people all across the globe. In fact, when I was, again, at the Breakers that Monday night before the game actually kicked off, talking with former Steelers great Santonio Holmes, I told him, hey, man, look, we know the situation at hand here. We know, what's the record now for the Steelers home Monday Night Football games at this point?
They have now won 23 in a row.
Come on.
23 in a row home. This is a streak that has lasted through 3 different head coaches, and the Steelers don't flip head coaches the way the Browns do.
No, that's not the... Literally, they flipped the head coaches in the NFL the least amount. 32nd out of 32 the Steelers when it comes to pace and flipping the guy that actually totes the main headset. And that is what they were dealing with. So they were up against it all. They did not show up to play. They got blown out, and they made it look more interesting on the back end. But at the end of the day, the Dolphins lose, Tua's benched, and now we try to flip the page to 2026 and what that looks like. Now, Quinn Ewers is going to start at QB for them for the next 3 weeks. That doesn't matter. Seventh-round quarterback, they decided between him and Zach Wilson. I'm not that intrigued with what the quarterback situation is for the Dolphins over these next 3 weeks. I don't think that there's even an opportunity for anybody to earn the job for 26. Here's what does matter to me. The benching of Tua today, following the Dolphins getting mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, tells me that Mike McDaniel has earned himself another season as head coach for the Miami Dolphins, if not a couple more seasons as head coach of this team. Because the Dolphins brass has already showed us a couple of things. They showed us their cards that Chris Greer was an issue. And when they did a self-reflection, an internal investigation as to what is going wrong with these Miami Dolphins, they looked around and they decided, no, we're not firing McDaniel. We're not benching Tua yet. We are getting rid of Chris Greer, who is the longest tenured of the three, who also has at this point, we can call it a poor draft record, especially in recent drafts. At this point, we can call it a poor assessment of talent when it comes to seeking out and finding good free agents and players to plug in holes for the Miami Dolphins. But most importantly, he had a poor pulse on what this team needed going forward. They got rid of Chris Greer. As soon as they had no other opportunity to compete for the playoffs this year, CCAT, they got rid of their starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, who is, I would argue, between Greer, McDaniel, and Tua, he's the toughest one to cut ties with, because you still actually have to pay that dude a lot of money to play football next year.
Yeah, you're locked into him.
$54 million guaranteed to Tua next year, so he's still going to remain on your team, but now you have to bench him and deal with the residuals that come with that, a veteran quarterback in his quote-unquote prime who is going to ride the pine for you literally into perpetuity. Mike McDaniel would have been the easiest dude to get rid of. We've seen teams do it time and time again. We've seen NFL squads do it this year. Look at the Giants, who got rid of their head coach. Look, we see it happen in college football. Firing a coach, a very simple task to do. But they've done their internal work. They've decided Mike McDaniel is not the issue. And if you've decided that by keeping him at least through the end of this season, I do believe that we deserve to see a full season with Mike McDaniel where he gets an offseason and the whole nine, and he's not tethered to a quarterback that comes with as many blockades, that comes with as many deficiencies that Tua Tagovailoa has brought. He didn't draft Tua in 2020. Chris Greer did. And now that Greer and Tua are done with the Dolphins, the guy that got brought in here in 2022, who also elevated this quarterback that had so many insufficient qualities as a QB, to be a guy that led the league in passing yards in 2023, to be a guy that competed year after year, at least, if not making the playoffs, flirting with the postseason, I think Mike McDaniel deserves another year with this Miami Dolphins football team. And in the past 3 or 4 weeks, it proves to me that he actually can find ways to win with the team that's deprived of talent. And I would like to see what that looks like maybe with a different quarterback under center.
Yeah. Like, you saw that record-breaking offense in 2022, and there's the possibility that Mike McDaniel was having to operate within the confines of his quarterback. And now that Greer was fired, if you were going to fire Mike McDaniel, you probably would have done it at the same time as the GM to try to get a brand new slate. And maybe that new slate would include quarterback Tua. But down goes the GM, down goes the franchise quarterback. One man's left standing. It would not make sense to get rid of McDaniel at a different point in time as your quarterback and your GM. So he will be a part of the near future of the Dolphins.
If you're the Dolphins too, and you look at these guys, like, nobody, I don't know if Chris Greer is doing today, but I highly doubt he's a highly sought after front office member for other NFL franchises right now. Like, I don't think his line was blowing up with opportunities once he got fired.
No.
He had loyalty from Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins, and I don't know what else he had outside of that. Same goes for Tua Tagovailoa. He's 27 years old. He's immobile. He's small. And he also has proven that the flashes that we saw from him were just that. They were flashes. And this year, 20 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. He leads the league in interceptions, by the way. He's bottom tier in the league in yards, bottom tier in the league in touchdowns. In fact, on the winning streak the Dolphins just had, they did it all by running the ball with Devon Achane. Wasn't like the passing game somehow, some way took off. Tua clearly is not going to have a hefty market for his services for however the Miami Dolphins decide to do with him, whether that be try and trade him, which I don't think you can do, whether that means that they cut him at the end of next year and take on the dead cap, which also would hurt them as much as it would hurt his future in the NFL. I just don't think that there's a place for Tua going forward in this league. Mike McDaniel, if they fired him today, he'd probably be an offensive analyst for the Chiefs tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, if they fire Mike McDaniel today, we're going to hear the stories, just like we've done in the past, of insert coach here, Robert Saleh. Remember when the Jets got rid of him? 2 days later, was it the Niners, like, almost immediately as an analyst, or was it the Browns? Or
might have been the Packers. Was someone in the cold. I remember Mountside, bald head.
It was in the Midwest. You're right, it was in the Midwest. I can't remember where Robert Saleh went right afterwards, but there is an actual talent there. There's a need there that other teams would see, and they would seek out what he can do for their franchise. I think Mike McDaniel has that, and I think that if you are in the Miami Dolphins organization, unless you're looking at this thing and you're saying, hey, things have gotten so decrepit around here that we need to blow it all the way up and start anew, Mike McDaniel should be the one dude who survives the rubble of what is the Greer/Tua/Mike McDaniel era with the Dolphins. Keep McDaniel in-house, and trust me, we could figure it out. Like, if 2026 goes haywire, you get him a solid quarterback, you give him a sufficient offensive line, and he can't build the proper offense around a new look Dolphins. If that happens, then sure. You know what I'm saying? Then you cut ties with the guy. But you're not getting a quarterback in this draft, and you have, out of all of the things you've had, you have a guy that is actually sought after in the NFL. Mike McDaniel likely securing his near immediate future with the Dolphins with this Tua benching, and not the other way around, because there are other people around there wondering when that next shoe is going to drop. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm calling out here to Dolphins fans in the area, man, from all up and down the Treasure Coast through Palm Beach County, or if you're listening to us on your smart speaker, play ESPN 106.3 or on the ESPN South Florida app. Fins fans, tap in, good people, and let me know the Tua benching. What should that mean for Mike McDaniel's future with the Miami Dolphins? Do you want to keep him? Do you want to fire him? Do you want to move forward with a new program? Or do you want to keep the offensive-minded? I don't want to call him an offensive genius. We throw that word around a lot. But I will say,
Specifically with him.
But then, you know, if we can't have 20 offensive geniuses in the NFL at once.
You're saying the mean of offensive knowledge has risen in the NFL?
Yeah.
To where you need to have the genius and a bell curve. And then the defense, offensive.
Like, he could be a
dumbass. I was going to go. I'm sorry, Aaron Glenn, that I mentioned you by name with the offense.
Right. I was about to say, you said sorry, Aaron Glenn, before you even mentioned that he was the offensive dumbass. No, I do think that there can only be like three geniuses. Just like there can only be like three elite, truly elite quarterbacks at once.
Yeah, the 1% changes financially every year.
Yes. And look, like Sean McVay, he gets credit for that. Kevin O'Connell gets credit for that. Mike McDaniel has. Kyle Shanahan has. This is off the top of the dome. Tanner Engstrom, Ben Johnson.
2018, John Harbaugh had a claim for that.
Oh, God.
The way he utilized Lamar Jackson.
That was, please, nobody's ever called that man an offensive genius in his life.
He's a special teams genius. That's what John Harbaugh is. Yeah. No one's going to take his crown.
He might be offensive at times to people, but he's not an offensive genius. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. What should the Dolphins do going forward with Mike McDaniel? The offensive savant. Yeah.
You made a really funny joke there.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about offensive geniuses. I think I'm an offensive genius.
Yeah, exactly.
And our next guest will co-sign.
I was about to say, yeah, you literally offended our next guest in a way in which I don't think he'll ever forgive you. So we'll see if that is
more times than one.
You're right.
Yes, 2 days ago too.
You're right. I forgot this is strike eight for you. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. Should the Dolphins keep or fire Mike McDaniel now that Tua's benched, Chris Greer's gone? 888-760-3776. Welcome to Pro Level Orthopedic Care at Baptist Health. Welcome to being treated like a pro. From sports injuries to everyday aches, our expert team delivers the same advanced care that is trusted by the pros. I understand your situation. I understand that you get up out of bed and you don't feel as young and jovial as you once did. No. You don't have to continue to feel that way. Those aches, those pains, the soreness can go away. And all it takes is you to learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho. Hop online, tap it in, baptisthealth.net/ortho. They want to get you back to the life and the activities that you love. So again, learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho. 888-760-3776. That is the Baptist Health Hotline. CCAT, yeah, man, I don't know. If I'm a Dolphins fan today, that the issue with the way that this season played out was it's similar to what our guy Cameron Wolf, NFL Network reporter, said with us yesterday as we were howling with the Wolf. They sold fans hope again. Not only did they sell fans hope throughout the mid part of that season, they also did this weird thing where they played their way out of premier draft position,
yeah,
while also making you, you know, faking you into believing that they actually could make a playoff run.
But also, I mean, it's not like they ran a campaign. Like, they just won football games against bad teams.
Well, they beat the Bills, too, though. The Bills one was big.
I'm not going to fault the Dolphins for winning games. You know what I'm saying? They weren't giving false promises. Maybe indirectly they were, by maybe a optimistic to a fault Dolphins fan looks up and sees winning 6 out of 7 and is, you know, getting all excited for a primetime game. But if they're a fan for longer than just 3 years, they know what's coming. I can't fault the Dolphins for winning football games against bad teams and one division rival.
I can. And the reason why I say I can is because if you're going to have that level of play in you to be able to sustain, if you're going to be able to wake up to play the Bills in a way in which you don't wake up to play other teams, then why not have the other side of that, right? Like, why are you losing to the Panthers? Why are you losing to the Chargers? Why are you laying an egg against the Browns of all teams at Cleveland? And then turning around and trying to breathe. And again, you're right. They're winning football games. They're not trying to breathe hope into their fan base. But that's what they're doing inevitably. Like, it feels like abuse at this point.
Unintended, though. Like, these guys are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions and tens of millions of dollars to play football. If they show up and have a good game, we shouldn't punish them for that because of their fans now thinking of them in a more positive light after a win, conversely to a loss.
The issue is you're right. It's commendable that they win some of these football games, but at what point does it become a thing where, so maybe you're saying that Mike McDaniel does need to get fired so that they can either bottom out or find a guy that can actually win games that they that are more pivotal and deeper into the season. Because if there is one fault I would give to Mike McDaniel, is there's something in either the motivation or the preparation or the lack of accountability or discipline. There's something that has happened in that locker room since he's taken over to where when the clock does turn December or even late November and when it is cold outside, that team underperforms.
Yeah, you're 100% right there, but that's not even a Mike McDaniel era problem with the Dolphins, right? I mean, this is not a playoff win drought that started when he got there. It's the longest in professional sports because of the organization.
Do we have the Joey Porter sound?
I'll get it now.
Joey Porter is people should kind of know Joey Porter at this point for football fans. He's former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, one of the toughest, one of the meanest, often thought of as one of the craziest players in modern day football. Joey Porter, who started his career and made his name with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but famously or infamously did have a stint with the Miami Dolphins. It wasn't as, you know, celebrated or heralded, but he did have a couple of years in a Miami Dolphins uniform following his playing days with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're talking about an all-pro proud linebacker.
And we don't have the sound.
We don't have
the bleeped version of the sound.
That is going to be an issue. I'm glad you checked.
I kind of want to see how, like, you know, play chicken with our FCC license and play the first 2 seconds and then drop it down real quick so you don't hear the curse word. But what does he say, Theo, when he's walking to the sideline as the Steelers are on top 28-15, walking off the field.
Joey Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking. I'm not Joey Porter Jr. You're talking about. I'm not talking about Joey Porter Jr. I'm talking about his dad.
Jalen Ramsey. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Continue. It's all good. Joey Porter. Long story short, which by the way, Joey Porter Jr.'s son being on the Steelers today as a cornerback does not help this conversation at all because it can only get more conflated. But Joey Porter pretty much said, and it was on a podcast, that he got softer when he went from the Steelers to the Miami Dolphins. And he credited that to being a part of him waking up every day and the weather was nice, living in paradise, not going through those brick cold practices where you're having to clash helmets and shoulder pads in the midst of ice storms and whatnot. Like he said, he admitted one of the toughest dudes in the history of this league admitted that being in Miami softened him as an NFL player. Now, was he joking because it's fun for everybody to make fun of the Dolphins? Sure. Maybe he was, you know, being a little facetious there, but it feels to be a commonality between players when they leave that locker room, that there's a softness about the Dolphins that nobody has found a way to eradicate. No head coach. And I don't think Mike McDaniel would be the one to get it up out of him. So if that's the reason why you want to get up off McDaniel, if you want to get a guy that can get in there and try and toughen things out, then sure. But when it comes to like play calling, when it comes to scheming things up, like the way in which he even has evolved the running game for the Dolphins this year, despite having no lack of a threat in the passing game, I think McDaniel's a good coach and a good play caller. Keep him.
Yeah, he's also kind of the player's coach style where he's the cool parent, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's not as disciplinary as what we were hearing from the Bears locker room right now with Ben Johnson, where apparently he is a disciplinarian and very serious and stout when it comes to that.
Yeah.
To his players, and it's converting into wins right now, and I don't think there's a right way to coach, but I think that especially with the culture that has been festering in that Miami Dolphins organization, maybe I think with Tua getting benched, it's going to be starting with drafting a type of quarterback that has the specs and the size and the cold weather mentality. And I don't think there's a Josh Allen in this draft or next draft, but someone that matches that physique, toughness, his level. I think it starts there.
I'm done with small quarterbacks.
Right? I think it's time to be prejudiced to small quarterbacks. They had a moment for a little bit. We were falling in love with the Russell Wilsons, Kyler Murrays, and kinds of that ilk.
Yeah. Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young, you think Drew Brees. I think that there was, like, Parcells and them had a point. I think I'm fully on board with I'm done with the small quarterbacks. When you look at the top guys in the league right now, Stafford, May, Allen, Dak, even Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, these dudes are huge.
Yeah.
Mahomes.
They're not fragile. It's not just seeing over the offensive line. It's being able to take a lick or two and getting back up to your feet and shaking off what maybe other quarterbacks would be concussed by.
Bo Nix.
It's uncomfortable to talk about. Yeah, just quarterbacks that are built bigger so they are tougher.
And they last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, because Tua might not take, he's 27 years old today. After this benching, we know he's likely not taking another snap for the Dolphins unless in break in case of emergency maybe going forward. There's a chance he doesn't play in the NFL again. Like, he's definitely not making it to 30 years old in the league unless something drastically changes. If they couldn't get the most out of him in Miami, what makes you think that another team is going to take a chance on him going forward?
You don't want a Ferrari at quarterback. You probably want a pickup truck at quarterback.
Yeah.
Who can take a couple of bumps and be okay. Maybe not a dump truck like you want at left tackle, right tackle, fullback, but you want someone that they're value won't deteriorate if you scuff it up a little bit.
Tyler Shuck with the Saints.
He's big too. I didn't even realize.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. Fernando Mendoza is pretty big dude. I don't know who like the next small guy to come out. And Bryce Young, I think, is the last bastion of like little dudes in the league. Baker Mayfield kind of is.
True. Yeah.
Baker's short. But he's not little.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. We've always heard about this Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
The whole thing. But he runs with that attitude and he embraces the contact to a different style to where it's not detrimental to him. but he knows how to get hit and deliver the hit himself without putting his health at risk, unlike Tua.
I wonder, there might not be a home going forward for Tua Tagovailoa, who we learned today is officially benched. He will get his money. I'm not drying up tears, you know, for Tua today. You tanked for Tua, you're benching Tua, and now he moves on to the next chapter of his life. He'll get his money. $212 million contract Tua got. We'll see if he finds a way onto another roster. I highly doubt he's going to be anybody's plan A. Your plan A, though, for this football season should have already been Duffy Sports Grill, especially if you want to be able to watch as many games as possible at the same time while enjoying the delicacies that come with Duffy's.
Bowl season, you can't just have one TV. Oh, man. 80 or more.
Miami Hurricanes, right around the corner. Saturday against those Aggies. You know where you need to be at the Duffy Sports Grill to be able to watch that and more. They got the Duffy's Double Smash Burgers right now. Two certified Angus beef patties smashed with caramelized onions. You got the full new roster of football features like the barbecue pulled pork nachos. Talk about hand-cut tortilla chips, slow-cooked pork shoulder, the Jack Daniels barbecue rub. All of that and more to Duffy Sports Grill, including the new jumbo wings now tossed in 17 different flavors. You get it how you live, how you like it. They got a style for you. That's how Duffy Sports Grill works. And, of course, two-for-one drinks all day, every single day. Go to DuffysMVP.com right now today. Start your rewards journey. Get your MVP card and start that rewards journey. You will not be sad that you did, because nobody does football season like Duffy's. Visit your local Duffy Sports Grill, DuffysMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. C-Cat, we've been doing this thing, theoretically speaking, here for more than 400 episodes for nearly two full years on ESPN 106.3. You know one thing we've never done?
What?
Had Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike as a guest on the show in the Evan Cohen studio.
You're lying.
Like, in person, in the Evan Cohen studios, we have not had that dude, who they call Ocho from his prowess on the football field, that dude sitting right in here, front-facing on Rosemary Avenue so that people can see his happy and shining face.
You sure?
Right here in downtown West Palm. We've never done it. We've had Steve in here, Steve Palatino in here, but we've never had an Evan segment in person.
I think we have
history.
Michelle Smallman in person once before.
Michelle Smallman.
But we didn't get Evan in person.
Has graced the studios here at ESPN West Palm.
Well,
we're going to change that today. We're going to change that today on a Wednesday. And you've got a bone to pick with him as well. You do.
We have mutual bones to pick with one another.
Oh, y'all going
to
be picking bones all day?
We'll be spending 23 minutes picking bones.
All righty. Well, it's going to be like a rib eating contest. C-Cat and Evan Cohen pick bones with each other on the other side here. For C-Cat, myself, Theo Dorsey, we are Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Sound a whole lot better.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
A good friend, Marcel Louis-Jacques with ESPN.com, had this beautiful headline talking about the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel is more than a meme. He pinned that yesterday ahead of the announcement from today, painting the picture of who McDaniel is as a coach, as a man, as a person in that locker room and with that organization. And now the questions around the Dolphins following the news that Tua Tagovailoa is benched is whether or not this man who is more than a meme will continue to be the guy with the main headset for the Miami Dolphins going forward. Hired in 2022, didn't choose Tua, but leaned in on him. We'll see what that process is like about keeping McDaniel around. What I do know is, if he has to pack his bags, like it seems like Tua and his family might have to, I know the place they should use to get up and out of South Florida. And that's Safebound Moving and Storage. Safebound Moving and Storage, rooted in West Palm Beach, a family-owned company. And most importantly, they want to let you know that you are safe with Safebound. They've got the storage options, yes, but of course, they also have the moving side of things. My little sister used it to get out of South Florida. She got up to the Peach State, no problems. SafeboundMoving.com is the website to go with. They are so particular about making sure that their customers are satisfied. That's why they have 5-star customer ratings. That's why they have the experience and the expertise. That's also why, for Safebound Moving and Storage, They remind you that you don't have to be a pro. They are. You don't have to try and move yourself. You don't want to wreck up your place. You don't want to have to pay a bigger security deposit. You don't want to wreck up your body. Use the pros. Lean on SafeBound. You are safe with SafeBound. Based in West Palm, serve all of Florida, whether you're moving into Florida, out of Florida, or within the state lines. SafeBoundMoving.com. That is where your move starts. CCAT, today we make history. Today, we do something that that should have happened a long time ago, but he's a busy, busy man. Evan Cohen himself is on, theoretically speaking, from the Evan Cohen Studios in person, blazer on and all. I mean, CCAT, this has to make your day.
Best day of my life.
Play the open.
Because 4 hours a day just isn't enough. The Don of ESPN West Palm checks in from the mothership to criticize LeBron, daydream about Duffy's award-winning wings, and call Machine Gun Kelly a genius. From the Evan Cohen Memorial Studios, it's more Evan Cohen on ESPN 106.3.
Do you like that they call it the Evan Cohen Memorial Studios?
Well, I'm sitting here, so no, because that means I'm dead, and I am alive right now. Per last report, I am alive.
You're still good. You're still breathing and kicking.
Yes.
They say time is a flat circle, though, so I guess we're all at all times just dead or alive, but we're here right now.
Yes.
We are here. It gets very introspective right there. Evan Cohen in the studio. Does it feel different? Does it hit different when you're like right here in person?
I'm going to have to look at CCAT. Ideal, but I've had some week with him, by the way.
I was about to say, what's going on between y'all's relationship between host and producer Evan Cohen and CCAT? As much as y'all are alike, it seems like you guys are like, you're kind of like passing ships these days.
You just keep the people that love you the most at arm's length distance, and I'm seeing that firsthand.
Yeah, he's not my producer. He's your producer. Let's be clear on that.
You're a co-host on this show weekly. So. Yeah.
Well, okay, sure, for one segment. I've had an interesting week with the two of you, as a matter of fact. We were all together at TGL on Monday at the Media Day, which was great, until it wasn't. Having nothing to do with TGL. It has to do with when I was going up to get grilled chicken for a salad, and CCAT in front of everybody goes, "Wow, going for seconds, huh?"
Yeah.
Fat jokes.
Hold on a second. Why would you? So CCAT wanted to defend himself with that comment. I knew that was going to get brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Evan, communication is a two-way street.
It's my fault?
No, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying that communication is a two-way street. He delivered a message and you received it as a fat joke. CCAT, did you intend for that to be a fat joke?
Never in 1,000 years would I comment on the weight of Evan Cohen.
When you comment in front of other people and say, how about this person going up for seconds?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think at all that's a little bit of an insult, maybe?
No, it's an insult and a little jab, a playful jab. You know, we're just a couple of guys snapping towels at the ESPN West Palm locker rooms when it comes down to
this
it,
ain't
right?
A locker room.
Wait.
This ain't a locker room. It's a studio and an office. It ain't a locker room. If you ask anybody in Theoretically Speaking Nation out there on the chat, I guarantee you, or 888-760-ESPN, I guarantee you that people would say if you call out someone for going up to a buffet for seconds, you're making fun of that. They are a little bit too heavy.
I don't think so. I think it's making fun of, I don't know, their lack of bashfulness. You know, not everyone got first and you got seconds.
Nobody was there at that time. Give me a break. I wanted grilled chicken.
Elbowing people out of the way, like, get mine first. Yeah, I think you were in a rush and you let people know.
Then... Well, that's you. That's Dave. That's part one.
Yeah.
Then we went to a beautiful fundraiser, Theo and I, at the Breakers for my late great friend Dave Burke for the Berkey Foundation on Monday night. And Theo had been invited weeks in advance, really prepared a lot.
I absolutely did not. First of all, I got invited while we were at TGL hours before the event.
It was the greatest invite ever. Steve Polizziner, the president of Good Karma Brands, parent company for ESPN West Palm, said to Theo, "I'll see you tonight." And Theo's like, "Where? You're coming over to my house?" And Steve said to him, "No, you're going to be a last-minute invite to an event that you don't even know you should go to." And he's like, "Well, I don't even know what you're talking about." And then I did this pull aside of Theo. I'm like, "Listen, if he's being serious here, trust me, you got to go to this."
Yeah.
And I was right.
You was right. That was a great evening. That was an amazing
We had an amazing time. Your wife was there. She was wonderful. Yes. Couldn't have been nicer. You were trying to tell your wife and I both
that we had met all these times. We were both looking at you like, no, we have not. I know who she is. She knows who I am. We've heard about each other. But no, like, Theo's like, remember we went to lunch here? No, we didn't. What about that dinner one night? No, we didn't do any of this stuff.
Theo, who's
an honest man, is like just telling lies. We never interacted in any way, shape, or form.
It's because I see you so often and I see her so often.
That doesn't mean you see us together. So then Theo and I are like waiting for specific music at this event, and we got this music, and it was great. And you saw an Urban Meyer randomly came running up and shaking my hand, which was the weirdest thing ever.
I want to ask you about that.
I still don't have any idea why. It was very interesting.
He's just a fan of unsportsmanlike, or he's a fan of Theoretically Speaking and your Wednesday hits.
That's what it is. And then I learned one other thing today.
C-Cat.
Oh, back to me.
Yeah, of course you like that. C-Cat today. So our company is involved in all the bowl games, a lot of bowl games, right?
Of course.
The Boca Bowl, Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans coming up, and the Gasparilla Bowl. The Gasparilla Bowl is when?
That's this Friday.
This Friday. And where is it being played?
In Tampa, Florida.
And where are you going to be on Friday?
Tampa, Florida.
And he did not volunteer to help out. We do all these events and things like that, and all these people are going up there, and they are working their tails off. And C-Cat, what do you want to say? You and I were talking about this privately. Not in great standing with the company? That's what we were saying?
Yeah, it was just shaky ground. Like,
shaky ground. One would think the ask on would help him. He's going for a concert and is not going to offer his services to those that clearly need help. And he's just going to sit there, feet up, at the beach.
Well,
for a guy who's on very shaky ground.
Now, I don't look at the Gasparilla Bowl and think, man, something's wrong here. This needs more C-Cat. I see a team that is fantastic at what they're doing, and me jumping in last minute would, if anything, complicate things.
Theo,
good defense. In defense of C-Cat, and this might look even worse on his behalf, I don't know if he was aware that he was going to Tampa on the same day as the Gasparilla Bowl in the first place.
Yeah, I found out live on the air yesterday by Tina. Tina goes like, yeah, I'll be on a road trip to Tampa. And I go, why? That's a weird coincidence. I'm going there too. Are you going to the concert? No. It's work.
You are something else, this guy. You know what? Maybe you are actually on shaky grounds. Maybe sometimes, I didn't even realize that.
I'm just in the weeds of the East Coast of South Florida, you know?
This guy's calling state championship games back to back to back. Well. He's calling. Well, you know, that was different. That was.
Wait.
Some Theo, people really liked it. Some people really liked it.
If you want to stand up for me, Theo, you don't have to not stand up for me because this guy's in the room.
Well, I stand up for you no matter what. I'm defending you right now. It's just as your lawyer, the overmodulation was not on C-Cat's issue. You know,
play the call. Do you have the call?
Do I have the call? I got a USB in my pocket with the call.
All right, this is the call. This is of the Lake Mary and Vero Beach, the crazy Hail Mary that was a batted ball into a lateral, into a state title, well, tie, but then ultimately victory on the extra point.
Yeah.
And I thought C-Cat's call was a little too much. The audience, you may have to turn down the radio a little bit. It may be too loud in your ears because C-Cat is a little much here. Let's take a listen.
More importantly, it wasn't good enough for your national airwaves.
Correct.
Like we can our audience here locally can deal with it, but no.
Is that why
you want someone in Utah listening to this? No, not on Evan Cohen's watch.
Arm strength, he will be throwing to that end zone where the wind has been in the face traditionally, but the wind has quieted down. In the shotgun, 8 seconds to go in the game. Grubbs drops back to pass. This will be the final play of the game. Grubbs, 4, 3, 2, 1, barring penalty, final play to the 5, deflected, caught, and he's brought down at the 2-yard line. No, he's not. He's in the end zone for a touchdown. Goodness gracious, it's a call by Schultz, lateral to the left side, and in the end zone for a touchdown goes Samarius Brundage Jr. Goodness gracious me, oh my. Touchdown, Lake Mary.
Let's review this. First of all, I needed the word Hail Mary in there. I didn't get that.
Oh, you never said Hail Mary?
Never said Hail Mary.
Okay.
I needed direction and description. Drops back, Hail Mary, however many yards in the air. Oh, my God, it's batted off of this player into his hands. He's running towards the end zone. He stopped. He laterals. He ran in. Lake Mary. Hail Mary.
Wow.
I got too much screaming and not enough description. That's what you told me previously, right?
He was giving a countdown though. At least he was giving a countdown. At least you knew how many seconds were going off the clock.
But I didn't get the score in that moment. 27-21. Vero Beach with the lead.
Wait, there's 10 seconds left in the call. It eventually that comes up.
Eventually, but I'm not there. I thought it was a little too much in terms of the screaming.
And you know what? I'm my own worst critic, Evan. I agree with you.
I've never heard you critique yourself ever.
You must not have heard me and Theo talk after this game.
That's why I feel bad because he was on himself all night long.
So he actually agrees with me?
He kind of agrees with a lot of things. But he has to publicly defend it, though.
And that's for me to say, not you, pal. All right?
No, it actually is very much for me to say.
It's his responsibility.
I am the only one that actually has the right to say that. No, it was a heck of a call. Tremendous. I mean, that was all. The video has millions of views all over the internet. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. A couple problems that I would critique. I was preparing for 44 years has been long enough. Vero Beach is going to win a state championship. That's kind of the problem.
Your Vero call ready.
Oh, just replaying my head while I was driving down to Miami earlier that day. Yeah. And it's a Hail Mary. How many times is that going to be completed? And how can I anticipate that? I should have, obviously.
That's why you got to call the action in the action. When you know what? It's just, you actually proved the point. A lot of people, when they hear from like these great play-by-play announcers, they ask them like, oh, did you have your call planned? And they say, no, I don't have it planned because you want to feel the moment, like Pitbull and Christina. And you have to feel the moment. And I guess what we learn is you didn't feel the moment. You were surprised by the moment and screamed over your lack of feeling for the moment.
All right.
Is that a good assessment? Is this true?
I wouldn't have had that assessment. He just explained what happened.
Yeah.
I'm doing this broadcast.
Focusing on the Vero call.
He was ready to call a win.
This is it. It's kind of it's the local team. Everything's lining up for me that this legendary program with this legendary coach, I'm going to be the one, Christian Cat, on the call. And then it's going to be, it's time now for Christian Cat featuring Theo. It's time now for Christian Cat featuring Russo and
Rizzo.
Yeah, everything changes with this call. It's my name. The producer has never been first on the billing.
Yeah.
Now it's Theo and Russo and Rizzo below C-Cat. And Vero Beach actually ruined his career.
Yeah, it did. It did. It changed everything for you, C-Cat.
But I took off my Vero Beach uniform in an instant and became Lake Mary's home broadcaster. That's how that worked. I knew immediately that this is going to be played in their hype video, which it was posted yesterday. Thank you very much.
You're excited about the Lake Mary hype video.
Oh, yeah, we were talking after.
I can relate. I can relate.
We were sitting there.
The Celtics put me in their championship video, destroying me.
That was.
It's very similar.
It's an honor.
Yeah. We were talking after the game.
That is true, by the way.
Okay.
I remember that.
Selfishly enough, I mean, the way that game ended was probably better for ESPN West Palm than if that ball hits the ground.
Oh, so you're anti-Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast schools?
No.
You just said it's better that Vero lost. That's what I heard.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to be selfless as a media organization, but in a selfish nature, that play gave us a lot more views than if it was an incomplete Hail Mary.
Okay.
It did give us more views. That is true. It gave us more views. I don't know how many views we would have gotten if that ball's batted down and Vero Beach wins, but I'm sure Vero would have liked it more.
I think so.
We would have got more favor from the 7-7.
If everything was perfect, you just flip the sidelines and Vero Beach wins when coming down from behind 21-3 at half.
So Theo's supporting you. Russo and Rizzo, what do they feel about the call?
They don't know we cover high school sports in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast.
Doesn't Colin actually do the broadcast?
That's what surprises me, too.
Yeah.
He's like, what call are you talking about? Vero Beach.
Okay.
We were supposed to be talking about Tua Tagovailoa.
Let's go.
Can you address at least why you have C-Cat has quadruple texted you and you didn't text him back?
Yes.
Yeah, because you call me fat.
Oh. Dude, come on, man.
No, I'm not saying he's wrong. I don't need to be reminded of it.
I asked Evan if he likes blue cheese, the cheese. Not the dressing, just blue cheese. He didn't reply to that because I had a good food recommendation for him because I like to share and I want to have more than just a surface level relationship with this guy.
You find that to be a normal text out of nowhere, Monday night, you know I'm at an event. I'm literally standing with Theo. And I tap him. I'm like, look at your boy just texted me. Do you like blue cheese? Not the dressing, but the cheese. Out of nowhere, unsolicited. You don't find that to be odd.
I think it's a point of contact, reaching out. I was scrolling Instagram. And go, oh, wait, you know what? You know who might like this dip? Evan Cohen might like this dip.
Wow. Why is that?
Because I'm fat,
based on what you said.
He's like, I see food. Evan might like this.
Yeah, so I see fattening food. But who am I going to reach out to?
A lot of macros in this one. You know who might like
it? Oh, my gosh.
Do you like blue cheese?
I like blue cheese dressing for wings, but I'm not like I don't like blue cheese.
All right, then you wouldn't like the dip. Never mind.
This is so stupid. all of that to get
you
to that.
So weird.
But you know what? Here's the thing. You know what? I'm glad we at least got it out of the way because he was going to buy you that dip before you left town.
Yes.
God, he didn't.
So Evan, we got to get to the serious part of all of this because there's a lot of Miami Dolphins fans who are they're used to hearing you on this. They might have missed on Sportsmanlike 6 to 10 a.m. and they're like, "What the hell do we do? Where do we go from here? Our favorite quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is benched. When you saw that, you knew it was probably coming. But where do the Dolphins go from here? What's your response to this?
Let me answer your question with a question. To those people that had this unwavering support of Tua, do they still believe in Tua?
I don't think anybody does anymore.
So are they saying they're wrong or are they saying we were right then but wrong now? Because there's a difference. They could say when we were defending him and it was pre-concussions and when he was at his best, we were right. He's his franchise quarterback, which I never felt like he was. So where I go now, and I saw Adam Schefter just reported that, so it's Quinn Ewers is the starter, Zach Wilson is going to be the backup, and Tua is the emergency quarterback. So this is, he's benched. We don't want him get him hurt because we don't want guarantees past next year in his contract.
Yeah.
This turns out, looking back on it, this was not a good draft pick. I was never in love with Tua. I never understood the contract that they gave him. They did not need to give him that at the time. They could have continued to franchise him. I would have franchised him and drafted another guy simultaneously and basically started the clock.
It's the quarterback rules.
And you said, yes, draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one. You said something about Mike McDaniel just moments ago. And if I were Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, I would feel so burnt by Tua. Because Mike McDaniel stood by Tua every step of the way. And there were times this year where Tua was not overly supportive of McDaniel. He threw teammates under the bus. He didn't hype him up. Tua does an interview with Dan Le Batard a couple years ago on Meadowlark Media and says how much he disliked Brian Flores and that Mike McDaniel is, in essence, like the only coach he wants to play for. Well, guess what? Brian Flores was right. Let's not forget that part of it. Brian Flores was right. Brian Flores did not believe that Tua was an every down, every game franchise quarterback in the NFL. Never thought he was. And you know what? He was right. Because the only guy that could get what he got out of him was Mike McDaniel. And he could only get that out of him for so long. Yeah. He had more weapons than maybe anybody in the sport. I mean, when healthy, you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That's an insane investment in the wide receiver position, which I don't believe in because I believe the quarterback should lift the wide receiver, not the wide receiver lifting the quarterbacks. And now what you have to hope for is that you caught lightning in a bottle with Quinn Ewers. I never was a fan of his in college. I never thought he was that great. And that you have to hope if it's not Ewers, it's Zach Wilson for now in one of the reclamation projects. What we learned about reclamation projects, they may be good in the moment or for the year, but they're not Super Bowl winning. Are you picking Baker to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Are you picking Darnold to win a Super Bowl?
Maybe.
Maybe. I would not. Are you picking Geno to win a Super Bowl?
Absolutely not.
Right. Are you picking Daniel Jones to win a Super Bowl when healthy? No. So the reclamation projects can get you good playoff-ish. They're not getting you to the Super Bowl. They are in absolute no man's land yet again. They have been living in that world of maybe for as long as I can remember. Do you know on December 30th of this year, so 13 days, basically 2 weeks from now, that is a 25-year anniversary of the last time they won a playoff game?
Oh, my goodness.
Put that in your calendars, people.
Yeah.
December 30th, 2025 is the 25-year anniversary of them winning a playoff game. Do you know when I moved here in 2003 just to help start ESPN West Palm? I came down here thinking, oh, my God, football town. I'm going to be around the Dolphins. They're one of the best organizations. This is going to be great. Do you know they've been in the playoffs 4 times? I've never seen them win a playoff game. They are in no man's land. They're not any closer to getting a quarterback. They are going to continue to hover there. They are a mess, and they may be in the worst position of any franchise in the NFL right now.
What I would say about all of that is it's not a very attractive job for any head coaching candidate in general. You link that to the fact that Mike McDaniel never had a chance without Tua Tagovailoa, and it's not a quarterback that he bought on. It's a quarterback he bought in on once he got the job. I would give Mike McDaniel another year, if not two. I would recommit to a guy that's shown he's able to take this kid who we're benching in his prime to the top of the quarterback league. He led the league in passing in 2023.
Here's the problem with that. I think we forget Mike McDaniel was a hot candidate. I'm not saying Ben Johnson level.
Yeah.
But remember on the plane, on that private plane that Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, sent for him. He's calling and FaceTiming Tua. He was so excited to work with Tua. I believe that Tua is one of the reasons he took the job. So for me, while I agree with you, I want to see Mike McDaniel without Tua. I would have done this way earlier, but I cannot separate Mike McDaniel from Tua. I can't do that because I believe Mike McDaniel wanted to be here in South Florida in part because of Tua. Just like if Caleb Williams, who I do not think is going to fall apart, if Caleb Williams were to fall apart, we can't separate Ben Johnson from him. Ben Johnson wanted to be in Chicago because of Tua, because of Caleb. I do believe that part of the reason Mike McDaniel took the Dolphins job was because of Tua. I really do believe that.
I can should find give the you quotes. That. I can give you that.
C-Cat should look back at the introductory press conference when he got hired and what he said about Tua.
Which head coach in the NFL ever takes a job and doesn't show confidence in the quarterback that they're taking over? Like, I agree with you on that, but I do think that Mike McDaniel, at the very least, has shown enough prowess. I would keep him for another year or two, and I would see what we have with him.
I'm fine with that, but, like, I'm fine with that conceptually. I don't think it's going to work out. I think this entire franchise is a mess, and I think they're screwed.
Just hit the big reset button.
Yeah, but here's the problem. How?
What do you mean?
It's like Tua's under contract. Tua's going to be on your books for, next year and the year after, partially. That's the you can only reset by drafting a quarterback. Mel Kiper Jr. was on with us this morning at 8:30 a.m. People can go back on the Sportsman Life podcast, ESPN app, and listen. And said if some of these guys transfer and some don't go out and Mendoza's the only one that comes out, there is a chance that after Mendoza goes at one, the next quarterback that'll be taken is in the fourth round.
Oh, my goodness.
So how does that help you if you're the Miami Dolphins?
I mean, another swing at a guy like Quinn Ewers, maybe over the next three. To me, this season and next season don't really matter for the Dolphins. It's really going to be
they haven't mattered in 30, 40 years.
They gave the illusion of mattering. When they dropped 70 on the Broncos, we thought they mattered.
That's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game.
That was the year. That was the game. That was the year.
That was the game. The 70-point game was the most recent-ish example of what the Miami Dolphins are. They're false hope. Miami false hopes. That's all they are. They're a franchise of false hope.
Well, we're going to see what that false hope turns into now. We have a benching of Tua. Chris Greer is gone, and now the future of Mike McDaniel is in jeopardy. It's up in question. I, for one, say you keep him. You double down on him. You make him finish out this tenure of his contract, and you're going to have to do it with Tua anyways next year. So I don't know what coach will want to step into 2026 with this team. You're not getting the best coach on the market this offseason if you're the Dolphins.
No, but who wants to run this team?
As a GM.
Yeah, because if you're a GM and you are running a team and they tell you, we're hiring you as GM, one thing though, or two things. Yeah, what's that, Mr. Ross? You can't fire the coach. You can't hire your own coach.
Yeah.
And you can't bring in your own quarterback. You want the job?
No. They are in hell. They are in purgatory right now.
They've created their own hell. They did not have to extend him. They could have, Tua, could have franchised him and taken it year by year. What is he going to, if he wants to hold out, goodbye. See you later.
Nobody's picking up Tua, too. That's the issue, too. He didn't have a market. Kind of like Brock Purdy with the Niners. I didn't think he had as much of a market. You're more of a Purdy guy.
I love Purdy. I think he did have a market. I think he would have been signed immediately. All right. Not maybe to the number that he wanted.
Yeah.
And he wanted a number that started with a 6. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I know that for a fact. I know those in the know told me that. Let's put it that way. So I can't say
they were angling for. I mean, but who doesn't want the number in the 6?
No, I understand that. But some people are not. Daniel Jones not going to come off injury and be like, give me 60, right? I think that you got to be reasonable also. I think that based on accomplishment, Purdy's accomplishments would allow for a 60. Tua's accomplishments would not allow for what he got.
No.
It's insane.
Well, we'll see. I think that this is also the death of the small quarterback, but that is a conversation for another day. Evan Cohen, I appreciate your time. Isn't it kind of distracting out here? He's facing Rosemary Avenue.
Very distracting.
The Evan Cohen Studios, man. It's great vibes.
But you know what, though? It's the greatest distraction because this is just the most beautiful. I mean, look how beautiful this is.
Downtown
we're looking outside downtown West Palm in City Place.
Yeah.
And it's like when I lived here, City Place was nice. And I lived here full time from 03 till 11 and then part time after that. But now it's just like it's stunning.
Yeah.
You walk every beautiful shop, the little AstroTurf kind of like kids play area they have there. I mean, it is truly remarkable. Beautiful.
Well, I wonder who did that. Same guy that drove the Dolphins organization into this turmoil.
Yeah.
Well, he's at least one of his projects are doing really well. I mean, Stephen Ross doing a great job with this. The Dolphins need a lot of tweaking and a lot of help. And I know you wouldn't want to say that because, Stephen Ross is great as he's been.
I have no problem saying that.
I do wonder, though, how much he's had his finger off of the pulse of that and kind of letting the people inside of the Dolphins handle most of those decisions. I don't know how much it's on Stephen Ross, but I do say that it happens with his oversight, and I will say that the Dolphins could use some beautification like downtown West Palm Beach has gotten. We'll see how that pans out. C-Cat is on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. We got the happy hour next, and since you don't drink, Evan, we got to kick you off
well,
the show.
Have I ever been on with Christina? Ever?
You have never. Would you want to stay on for a segment with Christina?
Do you want me to?
Do you want the 12 days of Christina, miss? You want to witness that in person?
Sure.
Evan Cohen.
Are you really okay with that?
We get bonus 10 minutes of Evan Cohen. How about that?
Sure.
The happy hour is next. We get a little bit more Evan, and we bring in Tina to the show. That's C-Cat. That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. I'm Theo Dorsey. We are, theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.